And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday. As we work together to know the letter better into the narrative of the Book of Acts, we travel to understand what things the Lord requires of us. As we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. First, as we resume the book of Acts in chapter 21, verse 1, Luke writes the details of their travel itinerary. They arrive at Tyre and go ashore and connect with local believers. What is amazing to me as I read this is how interconnected the church was. See, now the churches are like split up by territory, by doctrine, whatever. Back then, they didn't do it that way. When they arrived in a new place, they would seek out people of the same faith. And they did this because the same faith people tend to be encouraging when the world is against you. Next, after leaving Tyre, they traveled to Caesarea. Waiting for them in Caesarea is Philip the evangelist. We just heard about him in a fill. 28 years after he ministered to the Ethiopian, who was the head of the treasury in Acts chapter 8, here he is in Caesarea serving the Lord. He has four unmarried daughters who all have the gift of prophecy. I feel sorry for Philip. Because having four unmarried daughters at home with the gift of prophecy against one deacon of the church is a significant mismatch for verbal space. Catch that. It's a very funny joke. Finally, while they're hanging out, another person with the gift of prophecy arrives. So that's three groups in a row. So perhaps the church should understand that prophecy has always been and should always be a very active gift in the church. Anyway, another person named Agabus arrives from Judea. He binds Paul and says, "This is what the Holy Spirit says. The owner of this belt will be bound by Jewish leaders and sent to Rome." Many people then encouraged Paul not to go. That sounds graceful, but he needed to be heading in that direction. And while the people would be grieved, we must always remember that only God knows the fullness of the plan.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk is what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and hoy vey, so much more. Oy vey, oy, oy, oy. All right, here it is. It's not professional radio, it's just radio, so relax. Number two, we're looking to see what you think. We want to know how you're doing. We want to know what's going on with you. We're going to pray for somebody in just a minute. We'll get to that in a second. But I just want you to know you can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show. So right now it's 12:04 in San Diego. It's 2:04 in Dallas. It's 3:04 in Detroit. And I have no idea what it is in Argentina. But it's something. There's some time somewhere. You can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, you're going to end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is the same feeling you get when you're feeling like you're being appreciated.
Aww.
Aww.
Thank you, David. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you, my friend. I am blessed. You've been doing a great job with us, and we really appreciate that.
Thank you.
There's a couple things I want to get into, but before we get into anything else, we have a brother who has sent me a text, and we're going to go into prayer. He's got some issues that have gone on in the marriage, in the family life, and doesn't need to share his name, but what happened is there was a kind of a financial problem that took place in lieu of all this. So I want to pray for people in relationships, and I want to pray for their finances at the same time, okay, that are having relationship issues, good, bad, or indifferent, present or no longer present. So let's just pray. Let's bring it before the Lord, who knows every need and can answer every request. Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now, and we forever, forever thank you and praise you. We forever thank you and praise you forever. You are so awesome to us. Lord, you're so awesome to me. I deserve nothing but thank you for everything. Your grace and your mercy are so much richer than I can understand. Now, I just want to pray for this brother, Lord. He needs a miracle financially, and he's not the only one, Lord. We need some of that two fish, five loaf multiplying process, Lord. We need to see the multiplication of the grace of God financially for some of our people. We need to take what little there is and make it, spread it out. We give thanks for what we have. We're not going to complain about what we don't have, but we ask you to meet our needs in these realms. And Lord, there's a lot of people that are hurting relationship-wise. They're just hurting. Some of them are over, and some of them are in the midst of struggle, and some of them are doing good and just need to do that tune-up kind of element. Lord, help us. We really do relationships poorly, but you do them so well. You never abandon us. You are faithful. And so we ask your faithfulness to comfort those who have been abandoned and to minister to those who have been hurt. And again, we ask you for financial miracles. It only takes a moment for a miracle, Lord. We need your miracle power. You know of the things that we need. Help us with those things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, so, and why we do that, and you think, what's going on there, and so on and so forth, is because people are hurting, and they need prayer, and we want to love on them. And we want to bring them before the Lord and ask the Lord to help. And so you just pray. And don't be one of those people that when somebody says, please pray for me, and you say, sure, I will, and then you walk away and they never pray for them. If they ask you to pray for them, maybe they pray for them right then and there, or as soon as you walk away, start praying. It's one of the things that the Lord's really telling me is like, don't pray later. You forget half the time, which I do. So it's like, ooh, that's bad. All right, now here, let's go back to this next portion here. So I want to do the trivia question. So before we do, I do want you to know, if you have a praise report, one we've already shared, by the way, with Joanne. Sorry, Joanne, that I kind of ripped it to shreds. She wrote it really nice. I just kind of ripped it up. If you've got a praise report, don't hesitate. If you've got a prayer request, don't hesitate. Bring it. Let's bring it. Let's take it to the Lord and ask him for help. He answers much more of the prayers than you think he does. That's what's so amazing about God. His grace is so unlimited. It's phenomenal. And here's what I want you to get. In all of this, we're trying to strengthen one another and reflect Jesus Christ more and more. In the meantime, we're going to do Bible trivia. Why? Because we want our mind in the Word of God. And we understand that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, so it helps our faith. Here's your trivia question. Which epistles, that's plural, and that epistle is not the wife of an apostle, which epistles, those are the letters, describe the qualifications of church officers? Is it Galatians and Hebrews, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, or 1st Timothy and Titus? Which of those groupings describe the qualifications for church officers? Is it Galatians and Hebrews? Is it 1st and 2nd Corinthians? Or is it 1st Timothy and Titus? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. 8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Which of the letters deal with the qualifications of the church elders? If you think you know, reach out. In the meantime, we're going to do our DNA. D stands for Draw Closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Now, I can say this really carefully, and you might miss this, but I'll just say it this way. Every day, okay, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, every day that ends in day, that's a day to spend with the Lord.
Muntus, wed, thurs,
fra, set, sun, and all those that end with day.
Did you like that? Sitting,
someone's sitting there, Dan, hang on, that's every day.
Draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never, never, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. He is the word of God.
What's the word of God, Dave?
Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. Never be ashamed of what the word of God says, ever, or Jesus will be ashamed of you at his coming. That's D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And A, always be ready.
To serve,
which is so important because, and I like saying this because I know it irritates a few people. You were not raptured the minute you became saved so that you can reflect Jesus Christ more and more to other people. Part of reflecting Jesus Christ more and more is to be like Jesus. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. There you go. It's one of those things, you can't really defy that logic. It's like, okie dokie. All right, which of the epistles describes the qualifications of church officers? Is it Galatians and Hebrews? Is it 1 and 2 Corinthians? Or is it 1 Timothy and Titus? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Okay, it's all right. Don't forget to check the schedule because Monday there won't be anybody here at the studio, but there will be a phenomenal replay. Why is it phenomenal? Because that was the description I put on it when I put the thing into the dig a thing, and then I put phenomenal. Oh, you're looking for some technical answer. Oh, yeah, I don't got one of those. All right, here we go. Acts chapter 21, verse 1. After saying farewell to the Ephesian elders, we sailed straight to the island of Kos. And the next day, we reached Rhodes and then went to Patara. Then we boarded a ship sailing for the Syrian province of Phoenicia. We sighted the island of Cyprus, passed it on our left, and landed in the harbor of Tyre in Syria, where the ship was to unload. We went ashore and found local believers and stayed with them a week. These disciples prophesied through the Holy Spirit that Paul should not go on to Jerusalem. Should not go on to Jerusalem. We do have somebody calling in, so I want to give them the chance if they are going to answer the trivia question. But what you're going to catch out of this is there's an itinerary, and they're going through the process. So Acts tells you the traveling process that the disciples went through as the gospel was being spread throughout the region. Remember, Jerusalem, Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so the idea is that it starts at home, and then it expands and expands and circles and circles and circles. And so this is part of that expansion, Paul going out there and sharing and telling people about the gospel. Okay? So in the meantime, what I want you to pick up is this one really important point, and that is this. It says, verse 4, we went ashore and found the local believers and stayed with them a week. What I love about this text is it doesn't say, we went ashore and found the local Baptists and stayed with them a week. We went ashore and found the local Church of Christ and stayed with them a week. We went ashore and found the Assembly of God Church and then stayed with them a week. That is not what it says. It says we went and found the local believers. And it doesn't define those local believers in the denominational elements that we do now. And I just happen to be a little different than some people on this. I don't think that denominations are bad unless they cause division. If you identify with one group or another, I don't have a problem. What's wrong with that? So what? But if you identify with that group so much you can't fellowship with another group, now you've stretched it. Now you've gone into the wrong territory. By the way, it's definitely worth noting, this group, they prophesied through the Holy Spirit.
People are like, oh, that was not necessary.
Really? Throughout the entire book of Acts, this happens. In fact, in our text alone, three different groupings of prophecy. So it's like, you know what? The church should be a little less afraid of doing something wrong or offending somebody and a little more interested in walking in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, since all of these prophecies are coming about by the Holy Spirit. It's just so crazy. It's like, what is wrong with people? We're so afraid. Oh, I might make a mistake. You mean like one of the other 50,000 mistakes you've made in your Christian walk? Oh, okay. Hey, at least you'd be making a mistake trying to walk in the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. But I want to just, I'll jump off this train because I can stand it all day long, as you guys know. Stop trying to separate within your Christianity the fellowship element. We have at least 15 denominations that listen to this show. What does that tell you? It tells you that God is in charge, and as long as we keep it that way, it's a lot easier. Things just run a lot easier, okay? I mean, it's just easier. It's easier to let go and let God, right? All right. Which epistle described the qualifications of church officers? Was it Galatians and Hebrews? Was it 1 and 2 Corinthians, or was it Timothy and Titus? And the answer is Timothy and Titus. That is the answer. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Have you ever wanted to get involved with a ministry that promotes Jesus Christ as Lord, but just don't know how? Serving in ministry is a matter of devotion, time, and talent. Are you looking for a place to try and test the waters? Do you want to get involved? Come join the Ambassadors Initiative. Be an ambassador for the David Spoon Experience. It doesn't pay great. Actually, it doesn't pay anything. But the eternal benefits are out of this world. Be a representative. Why not? It couldn't hurt. Well, we hope not anyway. You don't need to be a professionally qualified minister. You need to have a pulse. By that, we mean you need to have a heart. Just go to HeMustIncrease.org. That's HeMustIncrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Fill out the form and we will reach out to you. Sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. What is the David Spoon Experience?
Is because heaven is not some statuesque place where people go there and then freeze. Wait, I'm in heaven. I'm standing. Nope, I can't sit. Wait, no, I'm in heaven. I'm sitting. No, wait, I can't stand. Where does that kind of concept of heaven come from? Well, is he standing or is he sitting? I'm going to go with he's doing both. He's standing on this one. He's sitting on this one. Over there, he could be doing a Scooby-Doo act. I don't know what he's doing. All I know is that heaven is not about frozen people that don't move. And if we don't get a better handle on what heaven is, we're going to lose our communication of our hope to a hope that's based on 72 virgins, which guarantees you after 73 times, it's not the fun it was the 72 times. It's so ridiculous. And that's the hope we're not winning on? You have got to be kidding me.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. So whether you're in San Diego, whether you're in Dallas, whether you're in Detroit, it doesn't matter. You're welcome to participate. Here comes our next trivia question, a challenging one, much like the one following it. Is that nice? I'm telling you ahead of time, trying to give you as much reference. I cannot actually, ironically, give you the scriptural references on the next two. So that means you're really going to have to think, because I can't give them to you, because I give them to you, you'll get the answers. Which Old Testament, listen to what I said, which Old Testament book in the Bible? So you got 39 to choose from, 39 opportunities here. Which Old Testament book in the Bible has the shortest verse? Ha ha ha! Is it Ezekiel, Job, or Psalms? Is it Ezekiel, Job, or Psalms? I got Roger again texting me. I know Roger again. I was just giving you a hard time. I love Roger. You guys don't say it. So there's private conversations that go all on. All right. Now, all I'm going to say is I would even give you permission to review this, because this is a much tougher question than you think. I will give you this one hint. It is one of the poetry books, but just because I said that doesn't mean you necessarily have the right answer. It's one of the poetry books, but that's all I can give you for right now. If you think you know, 972-445-0770.
I can't wait to tell you what I just saw on the phone.
Also, 214-210-8483 is the text. Then David at hemustincrease.org. Sorry, I can't give you the reference point, because if I give you the reference point, then you would know instantaneously, and I'm trying not to let that take place. Okay. All right, let me get back to the text. We will have time. We should be able to do history and a joke or two, if you're lucky. Let me go back to this, which we will get to right here. Picking it up right there at verse 4. We went ashore, found the local believers. This is Acts 21. And stayed with them a week. These disciples prophesied through the Holy Spirit that Paul should not go on to Jerusalem. And when we returned to the ship at the end of the week, the entire congregation, including wives and children, came down to the shore with us. And we knelt and prayed and said our farewells. And then we went aboard and they returned home. So there's something I do want to say about this, and I want to be a little careful on this. We find the believers. They spend about a week with Paul. It turns out that some of these disciples were prophesying through the Holy Spirit. So if you remember when we talked about prophecy about 2 years ago, prophecy is two elements. It is foretelling and forthtelling. Foretelling is telling ahead of time. Forthtelling is communicating the message at the moment. So Haggai 1:13 says, I am with you, says the Lord. That's from the prophet Haggai. That is forthtelling, sharing the mind of God, not a future prediction, simply a proclamation of the heart and mind of God. That's a part of prophecy. Okay? So prophesying is speaking unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Those are the qualifiers. That's forthtelling. That's when the preaching and teaching can be forms of prophecy. Foretelling is saying it ahead of time. There's the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's foretelling. It's being spoken ahead of time. All the prophecies of old in the Old Testament for the New Testament were foretelling. You understand that difference? And so some of these people were involved in the gift of prophecy. They were, not all of them, by the way, but some of them were. This is obviously the gift more than the encouragement. People kind of miss that. And so it wasn't as much as a specific moment prediction as much as a warning of danger. Here's something you might not be aware of, but when you are praying for somebody or something and you get a foreboding, that warning, that's prophetic. Isn't that weird? I mean, it's just, you just think about how cool that is. So they're concluding their thing. There's the men, the women, the children, the men, the women, the entire group of believers. They go out on the shore to bid Paul farewell, which does tell you the kids were involved. People are like, well, the kids were never seen. They're right here. They're right here. It says right here, the entire congregation, including wives and children, came down to the shore with us there, and we knelt and prayed. The kids were involved. Kids are meant to be seen and not heard. That's nowhere. That's nothing. Don't even pay attention to stuff like that. They go down, they bid Paul farewell. They end their time together with prayer, reminding us that when someone shares something from the Lord, you still need to pray about it. So these people are saying, don't do this. This is bad. I'm getting a bad sense. This is not good. You know what they do? They're praying for travel mercies and everything else, but they're still praying. And when somebody talks to you and shares with you, and people, I've had this happen
for 45 years.
Somebody tell you something. It's like, I don't have any problem saying I'm going to pray about that. I'll bring it before the Lord and ask the Lord. And I always do that. Do I always respond and heed what is spoken? No. Sometimes I probably should have. Sometimes I'm glad I didn't. You always pray about it. Whatever anybody tells you anything, you bring it before the Lord. And you ask the Lord. And you petition and you say, hey, I want you to tell me. Other people are, you're responsible for you, is kind of what I'm trying to say. So you bring it before the Lord and you pray. And that's what these guys did. It wasn't going to stop Paul because he was kind of on a mission and the Lord was going to move him forward, but they can sense that something bad was going to happen. That's not bad. They're being sensitive to the Lord. It's good that Paul would become aware of that. Okay? All right. So I just want you to kind of catch that. This is really important as we get into this next segment because you're going to find out that sometimes the Lord leads you to places that maybe you think you don't want to go. Oh, okay. All right, now I want to go back to the trivia, then when we come back, we're going to be praying. We're going to be praying for Michael, who's a friend of Susie, who's a friend of Deborah. We're going to pray for her when we come back after this, but first we're going to do a trivia, and then we're going to exit out. So here it is. Which Old Testament book of the Bible has the shortest verse? Is it Ezekiel, Job, or Psalms? It's not a trick question, but the answer is in one of the poetry books, but it's not Psalms. It's Job. Job chapter 3, verse 2 says, as the entire verse, he said. Six letters. That's even less than Jesus wept, which is John 11:35. So the answer is Job chapter 3, verse 2. And at the exact same time, by the way, Deb and Joanne, Joanne and Cordelia both said, where is it Job? Where is it Job? The answer is, it is Job. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
I'm not going to do an overriding teaching that will make the Baptist or the Church of Christ proud, so neither one of you groups can be all excited about this because that's not the purpose of this. Here's where we're picking it up. As verse 34 ends, the eunuch asks Philip, what was Isaiah talking about, himself or someone else? Verse 35 from Acts chapter 8 says, Philip began with the same scripture and then began to tell him about the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there is some water. Why can't I be baptized? So let's just stop right there. When Philip was explaining the gospel to the eunuch, he had to include the understandings or the teachings of baptism, or the eunuch never would have said, why can't I be baptized? He never would have said it, never would have come up, unless Philip had brought that information to light. In multiple translations, it then says, you can, Philip answered, if you believe with all your heart. And the eunuch replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is often known as believer's baptism. Some texts will show this in the footnote. I disagree that it should be reduced to the footnote. I think it's a part of the text. I would not fellowship with you over that. I just think it is a part of the text because he asks a very pointed question. And in this exchange, Philip is giving a very pointed answer.
So he's like, well, there's some water. I want to be baptized. I want to respond to the gospel. I want to say yes. And Philip responds by saying, you can. You can get baptized. As long as you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can be baptized. Now, why that's important is because this is the difference between many different groups about who can be baptized. Some people think, well, a child can be baptized. Yeah, but a child can't believe in Jesus, so then how can a child be baptized? That's the argument, okay? Those, again, those are not fellowship issues. Those are disagreements. You know, I spent 10 minutes talking about understanding who's got the Spirit of God and who doesn't have the Spirit of God. When you have a difference of application of Scripture, that person's not an evil person. They're not some kind of demonic whatever. They see something different than you. Okay. They're genuinely in a relationship with Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is what redeems us. They are acknowledging their heavenly Father, praying, Our Father who art thou in heaven. They drink of the same Holy Spirit. They come to a different conclusion. Yeah. What else is new? Does everybody think McDonald's is the best fast food? Are you kidding? There's only a few people.
Amazing grace. How sweet.
Oh. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. We're getting ready for a trivia question. Then we're going to send you to the website, okay? Then we're going to come back. And if somebody's on hold and will answer a trivia question, then we're going to go into prayer, okay? Follow what I'm going to do, because this trivia question has a great deal of similarity to the last question. That is your hint. That's it. Because once again, I cannot give you a reference. But listen to the question and recognize it has a great deal of similarity. Which book in the Bible has the longest verse in the Bible? I didn't say longest chapter. I said longest verse. Is it Psalms, Esther, or 1 Corinthians? Which has the longest verse? Psalms, Esther, or 1 Corinthians? If you think you know, remember, I'm telling you, it's very similar to this last one. 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. I'm going to send you up to the website. And on the website, let me give you the big spiel. Ready? Hey, if you can give, that would be great on the donate button. Love it. Check it out at hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I wish I would have used that on that last one. Not that I'm just saying it. All right, let me rephrase. Lisette, I'm going to give you one hint. That's all I'm going to do. And then we are going to prayer, and you're like, well, can you smile and then go into prayer over something serious? I don't know. Can you laugh and cry within the first minute? Yes, you can. That's your answer. Of course you can. Which book of the Bible has the longest verse? Is it Psalms, Esther, or 1 Corinthians? Your answer is in the Old Testament. Your answer is in the Old Testament. Okay, I want to say that Jeanette is rocking two pow-pows in a row. Very nice, very nice. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. Now, I do want to pray because Deborah has most people know that Deborah, who we love talking to, she has Susie, who's a friend of hers, and Susie has a friend named Michael, and Michael's having some very serious heart issues, I think that's the correct thing, and some very serious physical problems. Is that correct? I think that, let me check with Jacob. That was correct. Yes. So let's pray for Michael real quickly and ask the Lord. The Lord's the physician, okay? So we want the Lord to give us these answers. You see what I'm saying? He wants the Lord to do this deliverance. I don't heal anybody, and neither do you. God does. We get to be vehicles and vessels. It's his power. You understand that, right? It's his power. Get that? All right. Even Paul or even Peter and John, why you look at us as though by our own power we have raised this man up. No, it's not by their power. It's by the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now, and again, we thank you and praise you. And Lord, I know there's people in our audience that are hurting. Lord, we want to thank you for your graciousness that you've brought people through so much. But we're going to ask you, Lord, to change their circumstances, because only you can change a person to the point of resurrection. And like your servants, Peter and John said, it's not by our power, it's by your power. So we're asking you to touch Michael and touch him physically. He's got some issues that are serious and needs help. So we need your help. And not just him, Lord. We have people in our audience. We have Brother Ace. We have Brother Gary. We have different people who we know they're hurting. We are asking for such miraculous power beyond our scope, but not beyond you. Beyond our ability to create, but not beyond yours. And not beyond our ability to believe you for. So we ask you in the name of Jesus that you would bring healing to Michael and to these people, to our brothers and to our sisters in this audience, that you would heal them and touch them and they would know the power has come from you. Please, Jehovah Rapha, please, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, bring your healing power. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay. All right, we'll do the trivia, and then we'll go right back into the text. Here's the trivia again. Which book of the Bible has the longest verse? Basically, is it Psalms or Esther? That's going to be your options. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Back to the text we go. Verse 7 of Acts chapter 21 says this: the next stop after leaving Tyre was Ptolemais, which we were greeted by the brothers and sisters, but stayed only one day. Then we went to Caesarea and stayed at the home of Philip the Evangelist, one of the seven men who had been chosen to distribute food. He had four unmarried daughters who had the gift of prophecy. Okay. Now, you and I can, it's okay to smile. It's all right to laugh a little. We're going to get into this other thing with Agabus, who's got the gift of prophecy. And what we know for sure is Agabus is going to tell Paul some serious stuff. We'll get to that in the next segment. But in the meantime, they stop over at Caesarea and they stay at the home of Philip the Evangelist. This is 28 years past Acts 28. So between Acts 8 and Acts 21. So what I want you to see is in Acts 8, that's Philip. 28 years later, Acts 21, it's Philip again. Okay? I'm giving you kind of a little bit of a reference point there. Philip the Evangelist, obviously well-known, obviously strong in the faith, has moved on with his life, has, you know, done wonderful things in the kingdom of God, has four daughters, unmarried daughters who all have the gift of prophecy. One of the things that I know about the gift of prophecy, whether it's foretelling or forthtelling, is it involves words. One thing I feel as a human being is that Philip didn't do as much talking in his home as he did when he was talking to the eunuch, because he has four daughters. They all have the gift of prophecy. That guy's not getting a word in edgewise. Don't tell me anything else. I think there's a small sense of humor there. Some people are like, I don't find that funny. Well, you should ask the Lord to give you a sense of humor, because it is funny. Four unmarried daughters, all at home, all with the gift of prophecy. You got to give it up to the guy. That's pretty strong. Bottom line is,
This is the second group with the gift of prophecy. We're in Acts 21, right? We just talked about this group where some people were prophesying. Now you got another group, and they're prophesying. This is the girls. They're four girls with the gift of prophecy. The very next thing during our stay, verse 10, several days after, a man named Agabus, who also had the gift of prophecy, arrived from Judah. When he visited us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands. And then he said, the Holy Spirit declares. Who declares it? The Holy Spirit. Where's prophecy coming from? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by Jerusalem leaders in Jerusalem and be turned over to Rome. Hey, here's something that you should be aware of. Not all prophecy is good prophecy in the context of not all prophecy is Skittles and rainbows. Do you know that if anybody is wrong in their eschatology and the Lord tarries, we have been prophesied about that there's a lot of stuff to go through. People are like, the church will get air raptured. Yeah, but if that's not correct, you're not going to abandon the faith, are you? You're not going to quit on God because you didn't understand what he was saying, are you? Regardless whether we get to go early, in the middle, at the end, regardless, you have to remain faithful. Nobody else has the words of life. So you make the determination. Lord, I hope it's immediate, before. I'm going to hope and pray and believe for that. But I am prepared in case it tarries, and I am prepared in case it goes all the way. For you live for the Lord as though he's coming back in the next moment and not yet for 100 years. You live in the tension of the now and the then. And instead of being Christians who just want to run away, I want you to recognize that in church history, people that have wanted to just do nothing but run away are the very people that have sold everything under the proclamation of some kind of false prophet, given away everything just because they said the Lord was coming back at a certain time. Then the Lord doesn't come back and their faith is devastated. Don't you put yourself in that place. Don't you put yourself in letting your faith be devastated. No way. God has promised you eternal life. And if you don't get the fullness of his eschaton, so I hardly get the fullness of his salvation, and it can't be any clearer, let alone the eschaton, let alone talking about things that people have been arguing about for years. Like, I don't know. All I know is I hope it's immediate. If it's not and it's intermediate, I want to be faithful to the end. And if it goes all the way to the very end of giving up our lives, I want to be faithful still. And that's what every one of us as Christians should walk in. By grace, it will happen immediately. Who doesn't want that? But if it doesn't, you're not going to quit. Right? Okay. Just making sure everybody's on the same page there. And I do find it fascinating that there's three groups of people in this prophecy. I just think the church is, sometimes people are just afraid because they don't want to do something wrong. I get it. I don't want to do anything wrong either. But sometimes you just got to risk and put your foot and take it and put it over the side of the boat. You might even end up walking on water. It happened not just to Jesus, who didn't have to get out of the boat, but it happened to Peter, and he did walk on the water. Pretty cool. All right, let's go to the triv question. I knew this was going to be a tough one, which is I knew why we wouldn't get any calls. Which book of the Bible has the longest verse? Is it Psalms, Esther, or 1 Corinthians? And the answer is Esther. Chapter 8, verse 9, has the longest verse in the Bible. Two big teachings on that for today. Love that. We'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
The David Spoon Experience.
And that hope that is offered to us is something that's supposed to greatly encourage us. Jesus brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Through the gospel that Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. And by faith in the testimony of God, you can live forever. That hope is offered to us. If that hope is offered to you and you have not yet accepted, acknowledged, and surrendered to it, I ask you to do so right this second. I don't even care if you do a fancy prayer. Just say, God, save me in Jesus' name. You will be saved. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross, was buried, and 3 days later he rose again, and you surrender your heart to Jesus Christ, turning from where you were and turning to him, you will find life right now. You might be out there thinking, there's no way it can be that easy. Wrong, but you have to receive it. You have to surrender to it. You have to acknowledge God's testimony and say yes to Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what your friends say. Doesn't matter what any other family member says. It only matters for your decision before God in regards to his testimony relating to Jesus Christ and your sins. And that's the hope that is offered to us. And we can be greatly encouraged by that. And that hope is an anchor to our soul. That anchor makes it so that even if the winds are heavy and the waves are intense, we don't get tossed and lost. That there is some stability, that there is some strength. And you can't be like these people that have no hope. All there is this life and there's nothing else. That's why they're trying to sin their brains out, because they don't think there's anything else left. But they're going to die and face God. And he's going to ask regarding his account that he's given in relationship to Jesus Christ. And they're going to have to answer. And if they have rejected, then they will be as they have placed themselves as people with no hope. But if you're a person that has not made that decision to say yes to Jesus Christ, make that decision right now.
If Jesus.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's Amen 770, the truth station here in Texas, welcoming everybody from the north, south, east, and west. There you go. That's a good way to do that. We got our next trivia question, which will not be as hard as the last two. And the reason we didn't get any calls is because it was hard. Let's just be honest. And I can't give you a reference, because if I sit there and I say, where's the longest verse? Is it Psalms, Esther, or 1 Corinthians? And then I go, your answer is in Esther chapter 8, verse 9. It's kind of giving it away. See, that's what I get. But this one should not be as difficult. Which prophet foretold about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit? Is it Joel, Haggai, or Isaiah? And here is your hint. There's a well-known rock and roll pop guy with the same last name. Is it Joel, Haggai, or Isaiah? Boy, if you didn't get that, I quit. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. Which prophet foretold about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit? Is it Joel, Haggai, or Isaiah? Your answer, the same last name as a rock and roller. And just remember, I didn't start the fire. Okay, there you go. That, I mean, you got it. I can't do more.
All right, big shot.
That's a good one right there. Jacob, right in the middle. There you go. Good job. Good job there. All right. I feel like he's in a New York state of mind. I don't know. All right, anyway, here we go. See, that could go on for a long time. If you think you know, reach out to us. In the meantime, we're going to do history.
Let's go live in the past.
okay, today is technically National Chocolate Candy Day, so I want to say something about chocolate candy because chocolate candy is just amazing. I was doing so well on my diet until Sunday afternoon, and then I thought, well, I can give myself a little bit of break, and then we got this big thing of chocolate that came in on Tuesday, and I have been steadily going the wrong direction. Ever since. That's so bad. And really, I'm doing quite poorly. I just want to let everybody know. So you might hear a little bit of whining come out of that, but today is National Chocolate Candy Day, and I feel like I've made my tribute.
Yeah, I have too. got a stocking full of candy, and yeah, I've been knocking that out the last few days.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad when you've dwindled it down on your counter and you've looked at it and gone, I'm glad this pile is getting smaller. It's like, it's not a great thing. It's a sad thing. Tastes delicious, but that's not the point. And oh, like 50 different kind of, okay. So anyway, we'll move on for that. Today is National Pledge of Allegiance Day. United States Congress officially recognized the Pledge of Allegiance in 1945, for those that do not know. Also on this day is Call a Friend Day, so we encourage you to call a friend. And then finally, National Short Film Day, which means, you know, shorts versus long films. The only problem with that is that some long films would have been better if they would have been short. But that's just my humble opinion, depending on the movie. We'll leave that there, right there. Your trivia question: which prophet foretold about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit? Was it Joel, Haggai, or Isaiah? The answer also is the same last name of a particular pop/rock and roll artist. Eric has mentioned that that's really an uptown question.
I was going to say, call in. You may be right.
Well, I may be crazy. Anyway, all right, here we go. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. I'm going to pick it up. Now, I'm going to do something I don't normally do, but it's really important, so just bear with me on this. I only have so much time to do it. Okay, I'm going to read, and I'm going to go a little past what I was going to do, and then next week I'm going to backtrack it, so just so you can be aware, okay? So, this is Agabus. We just heard that Agabus says, the Holy Spirit declares, the owner of this belt shall be bound by Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and turned over to the Romans. When we heard this, we who were traveling with him, as well as local believers, begged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. They didn't want him to go to Jerusalem. Why? Because in Jerusalem, he was going to be bound up by the Jewish leaders and then sent to Rome. So they're hanging out. Another person with the gift of prophecy arrives. So that's three groups in a row, like I mentioned. We should probably understand that. Another person named Agabus comes from Judah. He binds Paul and says, this is what the Holy Spirit says. So people that say prophets shouldn't be using props has never read the book of Ezekiel ever. Okay, I just want to say that. The owner of this belt will be bound by Jewish leaders and sent to Rome. Many people then encourage Paul not to go to Rome. Now, that sounds great. In fact, it is great because they're caring about Paul. But Jerusalem is where he's headed. And even though the people would be grieved, and they would be, this was part of God's plan. What we've got to get past is, well, every time it's the plan or the will of God, everything's perfect. No, 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 no. The perfect will of God involved Jesus being crucified. Can you understand? Not the perfect will before sin, but after sin, because Jesus was the sacrifice. What I'm trying to get to is that we've got to stop thinking, well, it's bad, so don't do it, because it could, what if it's the Lord? In this case, it is the Lord. And so we sit there and we think, well, how can that be? Well, it's the same principle that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. That wilderness experience, I mean, everybody knew. The Father knew what was going on. Jesus knew what was going on. The Holy Spirit knew what was going on. And Satan knew what was going on. And that was part of the plan. And he would go through that process of testing before his public ministry started. That's part of the plan. Oh, but it's not Cheerio. It's not Skittles. It's not rainbows. Too bad. You and I have got to move out of this, it's all about this life mindset. If we're really, truly
Christians. We are living for that which is to come. We are laying up treasures in heaven. You're doing your best while you're on earth, but you can't be so connected to the earth you forget what this is about. And so here Paul is being told, don't go to Jerusalem. No, that's going to be bad. It's like, but it's the plan. Well, I don't want this relationship to end, but it could be the plan. How could it be the plan? I don't know. You want me to show you 5,000 examples from Scripture, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21? Sometimes the plan involves difficulties. The early church, when it was persecuted, that wasn't outside of the plan of God. That persecution spread the gospel. We're so focused on it feeling good. Oh, if it feels good. You know, it's got to feel, I like this. Not everything in your Christian growing pains is delightful. Some of it's painful. And sometimes in that pain, you learn a greater sense of trust and confidence in the Lord. That's what the Lord cares about. You think he cares about your 80 years? He cares about eternity. That's where everything is gearing. So even though the prophecy was, this is going to be bad, it's like, yeah, it's going to be bad. Prepare yourself. That's what, the whole premise that I'm trying to say today is that. If it's bad, it's bad. If it's good, it's good. Great. Whatever the Lord, whether you live or die, you do it unto the Lord, right? That's what that means. Okay? All right. Trivia question. Which prophet foretold about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit? Was it Joel, Haggai, or Isaiah? And the answer is Joel, as in we were giving you 500 references for Billy Joel. And I just want to say, we'll just leave. There's just so many you can go through, right? I mean, it's just, you know, after this, man, I'm going to go play the piano, man. That's what I'm going to go do. That's all I got to say. All right, folks, we're out. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 22-and-a-half-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. Can't stand the
skill, can't stand the shame. Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.